John Molinaro is our senior soccer insider. How do you like that? At sportsnet.ca. And he joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. That draw against Honduras, what did we learn? What did we learn about Octavio Zambrano's team from that draw, John?
A few things. I think one, that, you know, they are capable of grinding out results in a professional way in a CONCACAF setting, that they can hold their own against one of the better teams in CONCACAF. And I just think that they, the other thing that we learned is that, you know, they can play to win. They don't have to play, you know, not to lose. I think that's long been one of the major criticisms of this team, is that there hasn't been much self-belief or confidence, even though, you know, there was talent there before. I see a real fearlessness with this Canadian group. And maybe that's because it's a lot of young talent in there. And so they're not necessarily part of the old guard. And,
right.
You know, they're sort of moved on from that generation. And, you know, you have to give a fair deal of credit to Zambrano, too, because he has them sort of playing, you know, with that self-belief and confidence. But I think those are some of the things that we learned from that game and through the group stage in general. I think they've been, you know, they've been a very solid side through the first three games of the competition.
Yeah, it seemed to me in the past that this was a team that was just absolutely, it was almost like it was choked by its history, because I would look at the Canadian team and I would think that as a group, you'd probably have one of those, look, we're not going to win anyhow. What the hell? Let's go out, balls to the wall, and you know, play free. And, hey, no one's got any expectations for us, yada, yada. And you never got that sense with that group. You always got the sense that there was kind of, that history was a real burden for them. And it seems now that with these young guys, you know, Alfonso Davies probably doesn't feel the weight of history on his shoulders. He's got a lot of other things in his mind. And has had a lot of things in his mind since a very young age. Scott Arfield's looking at this as, you know, this is something he's always wanted to do, be part of a national team. He wasn't going to get that in Scotland. Well, he's getting it now in Canada. This is fun for him. And you can tell, and I really think that a lot of what is good about this team starts with him, doesn't it? That you've got a guy in the midfield who's kind of, he's got no ties to all the bad stuff that happened.
Yeah, I really couldn't agree more. I know a lot of focus has been paid to Alfonso Davies, and that's a great story, you know, no doubt about it. But for me, I think Scott Arfield has been Canada's most sort of important player at this tournament. You can see the quality in him. You can see why he's, you know, a Premier League player. And, you know, he's not the most exciting player. Yeah, I kind of liken him to what Michael Bradley does for TFC. You know, he does a lot of that sort of unglamorous muck work in midfield that goes unnoticed. But he's the guy who knits everything together and keeps it tied down. So I think he's been a, you know, a massive addition to the club. You can't sort of overstate his importance to the side. And they look far more composed and organized going forward, and then just as a team in general. And I think a lot of that is due in part to, you know, the presence of Scott Arfield.
A couple of other players have really caught the eye as well. Obviously, Alfonso Davies, but I think Junior Hoilett's playing the best soccer he's played for Canada. I mean, he's the second most fouled player in the tournament, which would indicate that he's in the action. He's certainly not sort of hanging around on the outside and not getting involved. He really seems. I'm going to be intrigued to see how he, Alfonso Davies, and Kyle Larin play off each other now that he's been brought into the squad. That will be an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, because when you look at those three together collectively, you'd have to think that you know, that's the future of you know, the Canadian program going forward. They're all at, you know, relatively young ages where they can be you know, the foundation from attacking sense anyway for this Canadian team going forward. So I'm with you. I'm very curious to see, you know, how they link up and how they do. You know, it'll be interesting because, you know, Larin is going to be coming into this somewhat cold, right? I mean, he hasn't been with the team through the group stage. And he's a different type of player than the forwards that they've been using at the Gold Cup. Lucas Cavallini, who I think has done a great job so far, is, you know, kind of like Jozy Altidore in that he kind of holds up the play. He's a big body and he'll bring sort of teammates into the into the play. He's very much involved in the buildup of Canada's goals. Laren is a completely different type of player, much more as a goal poacher, and he sort of really relies on service from guys like Davies and Hoilett. So I'll be quite interested to see how the dynamic of Canada's attack changes should Octavio Zambrano put Laren in from the start.
Are you concerned at all about some of the sloppiness and corners that we've seen from Canada? Or is it sloppiness as much as it's just simply maybe, it's one aspect of the game that maybe needs work right now?
I think that's it. I mean, I think it's one aspect of the game that it needs work. And it's funny you say that, because I think it's long been one of Canada's problems has been, defending on set pieces. It certainly was under Octavio Zambrano's predecessor, Benito Floro. I mean, I remember him having his players basically sit very deep in their box, essentially on the 6-yard box on top of their goalkeeper when an opposing team took a free kick, which I always thought was ludicrous. I mean, that was, just insane. I don't think it's as bad as that now under Zambrano, but it's definitely something that I think they would have to address, because there's been some missed assignments. They seem to be playing a zonal marking system on set pieces. That's kind of a debate as to whether that's the best way to go. But definitely something that they, I think, have to clean up a bit.
What type of a challenge will Jamaica present to Canada?
It'll be tough. I mean, they always seem to play Canada very tough. They were in a difficult group with Mexico and El Salvador and I can't remember who else was in that group. But anyway, I mean, Mexico and El Salvador are pretty tough teams. They finished, second in that group. So I think it's a good test for Canada, because Jamaica is, I would say, on kind of Canada's level, maybe a little bit higher. They're not, I wouldn't suggest, one of the elite teams in CONCACAF, like the United States, Mexico, or Costa Rica. They're sort of in that second tier. Do you know what I mean? So I think this will be a good test for Canada, because it's a team that's probably just slightly above their level. So it'll be interesting to see how they do, especially in a winner-take-all situation, right? There's little room for error, like in the group stage. Mm-hmm. They have to play, pretty much a flawless game. So, I think that's one of the challenges that they're going to be facing Thursday night in Glendale.
Do you think that if... I don't want to write off the game against Jamaica, but has Octavio Zambrano accomplished enough right now that even were Canada to lose to Jamaica, the Canadian soccer fans would leave this tournament with a better feeling about the team? And I mean, I guess if they were to lose, it would depend on how they lost, right? I mean,
sure,
5-0, people aren't going to feel very good, but I don't think it's going to happen to this team. But have Canadian soccer fans seen enough right now to get the sense that this program is going in the right direction?
I would say that they have probably seen enough that there's hope that that the team is headed in the right direction. I'm a bit sort of hesitant to say definitively that, we've turned a corner here, only because that this is a CONCACAF Gold Cup, very much played, against a lot of national teams who aren't full strength, and not exactly in sold out stadiums across the U.S. This is vastly different than, qualifiers and World Cup qualifying, and going down to have to, and much different than having to go down to Honduras or El Salvador or to Azteca Stadium in Mexico
right.
in World Cup qualifying and getting a result. These are completely two different things. That said, I do think that's offered some hope here. We've kind of already mentioned the major points about, it's a young team. They seem to be playing without fear and, attacking intent, and there's a self-confidence and a belief. So I think that's all good stuff. I think that's all an indication that, there is hope for the program. The real test for me, Jeff, is going to be, once World Cup qualifying begins, because, that's a marathon, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to do it in a Gold Cup where you're playing in, pretty comfortable situations in nice stadiums in the States. Quite another to have to go down to San Pedro Sula where you're having, their fans throw bags of urine at you and whatnot and need to get a result. So, hope. But, let's reserve judgment as to whether a corner has been turned here.
Have we talked enough, do you think, about Mian Borjan and his development in this tournament? Again, keeping in mind it is kind of we're not seeing the best of everybody's team, to say the least. But we have seen a guy who looks as if he's assumed a leadership role in the back. You made the point Canada looks a little better organized than they have in the past. You'd like to see more in set pieces, but they look a little better organized. You don't get those scary moments, those scary back passes, at least not as much as you used to anymore. Do you get the sense that he's kind of matured into the role and as Canada's number one keeper?
I do, but I don't think it's this tournament necessarily. I think he's sort of made that sort of development and maturation over the last few years. Mm-hmm. I think he's by far Canada's best sort of shot stopper and goalie. And you've kind of seen that in this tournament. I mean, he's made some very big and crucial and timely saves where, you know, if not for him, then, you know, maybe 1 point turns into 0 points or 3 points turns into 1 point. And he's very vocal too, which is what I like. I mean, he's not shy about sort of organizing his defenders and sort of barking at them. And he takes kind of like an active leadership role in, you know, in the team's overall team defending. So I quite like that. And you know, much as sort of Scott Arfield and Alphonso Davies have played big roles in the attacking front end of things for Canada, I think Borjan has been probably one of Canada's most important players on the back end for this team because, as I said, he's made some sensational saves and really been the difference sometimes.
Now, we haven't had a chance to talk to you since Toronto FC extended Greg Vanney and Tim Bezbachenko's contract and added Nicholas Heisler as well to the mix. What can you tell us about the newest addition to the team, about Heisler and you know, what he brings to the club?
Well, I mean, certainly versatility. You know, he's a guy who has played as sort of a central midfielder with his team, previous club in the Swiss League, FC Bordeaux, but he's also played as a right back, as a right winger, and as a wing back. So there's some versatility there, and I think that's really important in a salary cap league like Major League Soccer, where, you know, you can't just easily go out and get someone, you know, to get, you know, replace it. You know, in the case of Steven Bateshore, he's down. Mm-hmm. You really need someone who can play a number of different positions because, especially in this, like, injuries and international absences come into play so often that it leaves teams kind of scrambling to fill holes. So if you can have a guy who can fill in a different couple of places on the pitch, that's massive. And I think mm-hmm. that's something that they're pretty big on for Hassler because he is very versatile. He can play, you know, a number of different roles. He seems pretty composed too. I mean, I talked to him on Friday and, you know, you have to remember he comes from Liechtenstein, a country where, you know, it's, I think 36,000 people
right.
coming to the city of Toronto with, you know, 3-4 million. It's, I mean, he made a joke about, you know, you should come to Liechtenstein for a visit, but you could see everything in 20 minutes. So, and he made another joke about, you know, the entire population really fitting into BMO Field. So you have to think, even with respect to him playing in the Swiss League and you know, visiting some bigger cities, that, you know, this is a big culture shock, really, right? So, but he seems to have a pretty level head on his shoulders. And his father was one of his country's best players of all time. So I think, you know, hopefully this situation and sort of that the adapting to MLS and life in a different country won't be too much for him to overcome.
And it's pretty apparent that Hassler was being scouted by TFC for a while and before Tim Bezbachenko could get this done. Are you're not surprised at all about those extensions, are you?
No, not the least. I mean, I knew that they had been working on it and that it was kind of in the final stages. You know, it's well deserved. I mean, I think, you know, when I wrote about this when mm-hmm. it happened, I think, you know, the two combined, Vanney and Bezbachenko, they have done a really excellent job of rebuilding this team. They seem to work really well in unison and share similar ideas about what this football team should look like and how they want to operate. And, you know, you can't sort of overstate how, you know, they've really sort of led the renaissance of this team. And when you think about where this franchise was, you know, just 3 or 4 years ago, in complete disarray and, you know, then, you know, the embarrassing playoff loss in Montreal. They've come a long way, and you know, I don't think this team has ever been more stable or more just sort of set for long-term success than it's ever been in its history. And that's saying something considering, you know, the first 8 years.